So if you'd read here with me, we're going to start in Jeremiah chapter 4, looking at verse 1. Here the Bible says, "If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth and judgment and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn, that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings." The title of our message comes from verse 1, "Return unto me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we just want to commit this entire service unto thee. Lord, our prayer is to hear from you. Lord, change our hearts, our lives, by your word. We love you and thank you and give this service to thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeremiah's message was to forewarn that there was judgment that was at hand. Nothing could save them from this punishment. And it sounds harsh, right? But as we know, this was not the case. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet in Jeremiah 9:1 and 13:7. And our message this morning will be centered around this. The Lord, through Jeremiah, asks the people, "Return unto me." Will you, Christian, return to God? The theme and the title. Now, our message this morning is targeted towards the saved, that we may need to make decisions this morning, and that's to return to God. If you're unsaved and have not received the free gift of salvation, I'd encourage you that the first thing you do is ask of it, and one of us will take God's word, the Bible, and show you that you can know today that you're on your way to heaven. So look there with me, chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "If thou wilt return." And that's our first point. We have a decision to make. The thought here is to be turning back to the starting point, to retreat, or to start again. So if you will return, O saith the Lord, and this is a prophetic declaration. This is what the Lord is trying to say. Return unto me. Take this seriously. Come back. And this is God's answer to Israel's response in Jeremiah 3. So if you turn there, just one chapter back, we'll look at verses 21 to 22. Jeremiah 3, looking at verses 21 and 22. A voice was heard. They were trying to draw attention. God, hear our prayer. Upon the high places, weeping and supplications. This was their earnest prayer for the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Jeremiah saw Israel was in true repentance. They were trying to draw attention unto God, weeping with earnest prayer, crying out to God, and it was necessary, for you see that they were turning away from their God. So how did he respond? Look at it. It says, "Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings." God even said, after you have been continuing in your sin, from turning away from me, I will heal your backslidings. But we have a decision to make. Will we return unto him? How did Israel respond? Look there with me. It says, "Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God." They responded correctly. That's how we ought to respond as well. If God is right there, he's calling unto us, return, come back. But we have a choice. Will we return? Is that what God is saying to you today? That there is sin in your life, that you have backslidden, and that you need to come back to God. So fast forward back with me to Jeremiah 4 and in verse 1. "If thou wilt return," we have a decision to make. "O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me." What's God trying to say here? You said you will return back here, but you haven't kept your promise. You said you will, but you haven't. And it starts with a heart problem. Let's look at Joel chapter 2 in verses 12 to 13. And this passage here will explain it so simply. God desires all of our hearts, not just a small part of it, not most of it, not 95% of it. He wants all of it. Joel 2, looking at verse 12 and 13. Therefore, also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart. And this will be the theme of most of our message. You know God delights in how we respond to him. Let's look at it. It says there, and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. The natural response should be for us as Christians, if God, I want to give you my all, not just part, then it'll be just natural. You'll be crying, you'll be weeping, you'll be mourning. It's translated here, wailing. God, my desire is to come back to thee. Is that how we ought to respond? And look there now in verse 13, our next point where we see, and rend your hearts, not your garments. Bible days, people express their sorrow, their repentance, by the tearing or rending of their clothes. You could see publicly they were in repentance, they were in sorrow. But what God is trying to get across here, that isn't enough. The exterior, God looks on the heart. And we know this. So what does it say there? Rend your heart, not your garments. God desires all of our heart, not just part of it. And we'll elaborate on this later on in the message. Can you imagine seeing on a Sunday morning your brother or sister in Christ tearing their clothes? Sounds silly, right? But what God is trying to say, rend your heart. Get your heart right with God. Do we have a repentant and rendered heart for God? And if not, we have things to get sorted today. Still there in Joel 2:13, it says at the end, and turn or return unto the Lord your God. Why? For it says he is gracious, he's merciful, he's slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. We could do a Bible study on those attributes and fill this entire service, but for time purposes, we won't. But this is why we ought to get our heart right with God. Look at those attributes. But our outward display, it doesn't always equal a repentant heart. For we know this from 1 Samuel 16:7. You don't need to turn there. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, that's his appearance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused or rejected him. Why? For the Lord seeth, now that means his perspective, and he considers, not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord, he looketh on the heart. Saul was anointed king based on his tall stature and his good looks. David, anointed king, and he was a man after God's own heart. God is looking at your heart this morning, and it requires a decision. Are we going to have a fully repented and rendered heart for God? Or are we going to hold back just a small part? It's up to you and I. Let's look at that in Deuteronomy 4:29. Deuteronomy 4:29. And it makes sense, right? It must be up to us. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have reached out and taken of the free gift of salvation, which I pray we all have today. But God is right there asking Israel, return unto me. Let's look at this, Deuteronomy 4 and verse 29. But if from thence thou shalt seek, that means to search out, to strive after the Lord thy God, look at what it says. Thou shalt find. That means to attain, acquire, or possess him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. But what I wanted us to see in this passage is thou shalt. thou shalt, thy heart, thy soul. It is up to us. What are we going to do when we leave this building today? We have this promise. We will find him if we seek. But what does it say with all? Too often, we grow up in Christian homes or whatever it may be. God, I'm going to give you 99%, but I want to hold on to something. What we see throughout all these verses is God desires our all, not just part. Maybe our prayer needs to be like David in Psalm 51:10, create, fashion, or shape in me a clean or pure heart, O God, and renew. That means to rebuild, repair, make anew a right spirit within me. We know David, a man after God's own heart, and it was full of lust, murderous plans, the list goes on. But David desired a new heart, one full of love for God. Sin in his heart had brought him nothing good. We studied this on a Sunday morning. But he wanted a spiritual heart surgery that only God could perform on him. So we've seen 2 points this morning. If thou wilt, we have a decision to make this morning. Our second point, rend your heart. Have a repentant and full heart. In Jeremiah 4:1, let's turn back there in our main passage. We'll see our third point. Jeremiah 4 in verse 1. We're still in verse 1. Here it says, put away. If thou put away thine abominations out of my sight. What God is trying to say to Israel, put away, depart, turn from, remove it. Israel had to put away their idols or their abominations. They could not hold on to them any longer and return to the Lord. What is it in your life that you need to put away for good? Not just for today, not just for this hour, for this week, but for good. Let's look at this in Joshua 24:14. Joshua 24:14. Joshua reminded Israel how God had blessed through the promises of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. A history lesson, if you will. In Joshua 24:14, and this is before the well-known verse there in verse 15 of the home. But let us see that we may need to put away, put things off, hindrances, distractions in our life that are stopping us from giving God our all. Let's look at it, Joshua 24 and in verse 14. The Bible reads, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him. How? In sincerity and in truth. And that should be our desire regardless. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and now serve ye the Lord. And yet, many of them secretly held on to their false worship of false gods through everything. This is a history lesson. This is what God has brought us through. And yet, they still could not put away. How many times is God going to have to work in our hearts for us to see that there is sin, that there is hindrances, distractions in our lives taking us away from God? Put it away. In this context for Israel, they were trying to serve two masters. In Matthew 6:24, the Bible says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. This is what they were trying to do. For them, it was idolatry. For you, I'm sure the Lord is pressing on your heart. What is it that there is sin in your life that you need to put away for good, not just for today, for the remainder of this message, for good? The Bible says in Ephesians 4:22-24, you don't need to turn there, that ye put off, that's the action. Remember, love is action. Concerning the former, that's the previous conversation. That's our conduct, that's our manner, that's our behavior, which is the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We need to put off, put away. Israel, return unto me. Come back if thou wilt. You have the decision, and it's going to require you to rend your heart, have a repentant heart. And now we shall see In Jeremiah 4:2, if you carry on, Jeremiah 4:2 in our main passage, our next point found there in Jeremiah 4 and in verse 2. It says, "And thou shalt swear, Israel," the question, "if you honour me or make an oath with me or charge that what the Lord liveth in truth and judgment and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory." What he's trying to get across to them is acknowledge God as the only and true God. Remember, we just talked about putting away. They struggled with having false gods. So turn from it, but now make a promise with him. That Lord God, you are the only God. That is what he desired of them, and that's what he desires of us. What is it that we need to put away? That's putting a hindrance in our life. And now come back to him and say, God, you are the only God. I'm going to follow after thee. Let's look at this. Nations shall bless themselves in him. As in, because of this oath, because of this promise that you're going to make, the heathen nations around them will be so convicted, the power and the goodness of God that is placed and heaped upon them, that they will say, Israel, your God blesses thee. Isn't that what we want for us? That how we respond, others look at us and say, wow, God is really blessing them because they made an oath. They made a promise to change. Thou shalt swear. That's our next point. Make an oath with God. Okay, God, I'll put off these things and I'm going to put you first. I'm going to make an oath, a promise, and I swear, as it says there, and thou shalt swear. And at the end of this verse, the Lord is calling to them that their repentance then should bear fruit. The fruit in this case is the nations based upon their oath made with God. God now switches the focus to Judah in verse 3. We will see our next point. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. The ground or the soil here is representing the heart. The seed, the powerful written word of God in Hebrews 4:12. Fallow ground means untilled. The seed cannot grow and produce good fruit. And let's see what this looks like in Hosea 10:12. Hosea 10:12. You see, God is calling you to do this, to break up your fallow ground of your heart. But will you be obedient? Let's look at it. Hosea 10 and verse 12. The Bible says here, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Hosea 10 and verse 12. Reap in mercy. That's loving kindness or faithfulness. For we know what shall a man sow, that shall he also reap or harvest. If we sow in righteousness, we are promised that we will reap in loving kindness or faithfulness. That thought there, once again, is to break up your fallow ground. That's your untilled, hardened heart. You have not allowed God to work in it. Why should we? Well, it says there, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come. I think that's a pretty good reason. That we need to break that hardened heart and serve God with it. Is there land, or has your heart been hardened? And you haven't allowed the Lord to change you through his powerful word. It's there, but it's wasted. Lord, I'm just not willing to give it up yet. As we just talked about previously, the Lord desires all your heart. And we're coming back full circle to this where he's saying, if you're not willing to give it up, you need to be willing to break it up. Work in it, the untilled, it says. Next, it also mentions sowing not among thorns. How do thorns make the field or our hearts unproductive? Well, let's look at that in Matthew 13:22. In Matthew 13:22, Jesus here is speaking in regards to the parable of the sower, and is explaining to his disciples that thorns can make our heart unproductive. Matthew 13 and verse 22. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, that's good, but carry on, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, what do? They choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Would you say that we want to be fruitful Christians for God? But we just saw here, if we allow us to be sowing among thorns, we will be unfruitful, because it chokes the word. It reminds us of Matthew 6:24. You cannot serve God and mammon. The material gain here is one of the thorns that can hinder us because we're distracted. We saw before that we need to put away. God doesn't want these desires, these distractions, these hindrances in our lives. For look what it does to us. And the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches, they choke the word, God's powerful word, and you will become unfruitful for him. Sow not among thorns, break up your fallow ground of your heart. Let's look at Luke 8, 14 and 15. Turn there with me. Luke 8, 14 and 15. If we're not willing to break up our fallow ground, our heart, if we're not willing to not sow among thorns and allow these things to distract us, then we're promised that our fruit will not be brought to perfection. Look at it in Luke 8 and in verse 14. The Bible says here, and that which fell among thorns are they. Luke 8 and in verse 14. When they have heard, go forth and are choked. There's it mentioned once again, which is to be strangled or to drown. And the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. This is what happens when we have an unbroken heart for God. If we allow thorns, they choke the word. They bring no fruit to perfection. But look at Luke 8:15 now. But that on the good ground are they, which is in an honest or noble and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. If we break up our fallow ground, which is our hearts, we sow not among thorns, and if we have a good heart, having heard the word and keep it, we're promised that we will bring forth good fruit. My father is well known as a gardener. If he was to not get rid of the weeds, the thorns, if he was not to break up that fallow ground before he planted, that seed cannot grow to maturity. He's not going to yield good fruit. That is what God is trying to get across here. That's our heart. The seed is God's word. If we're not willing to break it up, God's word will not bring forth fruit to perfection in our lives. And that is what our desire should be, to bring forth good fruit. The thorns, they may represent pride, anger, selfishness, a love of entertainment. Ooh, we better not say that now. And recreation, greed, the list goes on. Thorns, what do? They choke the word. That's a devastating effect on the crop that God wants to grow in you today. You cannot sow good seed among thorns or unfallow ground or hardened ground. It has to be broken up. So we've seen so far this morning, if thou wilt, we have a decision to make. Rend your heart. Have a fully, remember, not just part, a fully repentant heart. Putting away, for Israel, it was idols. It was false gods. For you, I'm not too sure. But it requires you to put it away. That you make an oath. Thou shalt swear, it says. Make an oath to God. I'm going to put this away. And God, I'm now going to put you first. Break up that fallow ground of your heart. That's what we represented as a garden of the soil. Break it up. Why? So that way you sow not among thorns, that the fruit, which is God's word, will get down and grow and mature and bring forth good fruit. Otherwise, we saw those thorns, they choke the word and it will not bring it forth. And lastly, our seventh point this morning is circumcising the heart, or circumcising yourselves to the law. Well, what does this mean? Well, physical circumcision, or cutting away, was a sign of Israel's covenant with the Lord. Now Jeremiah says to them, well, how can you do this in regards to your heart? Circumcision of the heart shows Israel being set apart for God with their full and rendered heart. For it says at the end of verse 4, lest my fury come forth like fire. Get it right with God. Deuteronomy 10:16 says, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. And Romans 2:29, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. Paul here is discussing the Old Testament law that was an outward sign of being set apart. What he's trying to say now is that's not good enough. God desires a circumcised heart. What is happening on the inside? That's been our entire topic and theme of this message this morning, is our heart. If we're going to return, come back to God, our heart will be the thing causing us the most issues. We need to get it right with God. Give him our all, not just part. Put it away. Whatever it is that is in your life that's becoming a hindrance from serving God fully, make an oath unto him that, God, I'm willing to put it away and give you all of my heart. It's not worth it, these things that holding back the 1%. God, I'm going to give you my all. Put it away. I'll make an oath. And I'm going to break up my fellow ground. If I've had a hardened heart, God, my desire is that your holy word is going to sink down deep into that soil, that land, and it's going to bring forth good fruit. Because otherwise, I'm going to bring forth no fruit to perfection. God, my desire is to bring forth fruit to you. If I'm not willing to make these decisions, don't be surprised if you see no fruit. This is what was commanded here to Israel. Get these things right and you will see fruit. Is that your desire today? Return unto me, is what Jeremiah was saying through the Lord to Israel. Will you make the decision today to return unto him? Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we just thank you for the simplicity of your word. We thank you that it's powerful, Lord, that the Holy Spirit can work within us. Lord, allow us to see if we have allowed sin in our life, that Lord, if we have backslidden, that we are willing to make the decision even today to put those things away, the hindrances in our life that are stopping us from serving thee fully. Lord, break up that fallow ground of our hearts, Lord, that we may bring forth fruit unto you. Lord, that is our desire today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.